Hello and welcome to the Best of Spectrum.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring.
I don't think Dublin is necessarily unfriendly over time. What happens, though, is you realize that people have very busy schedules because of, you know, the new economy and people just earning a ton of money and working hard.
Irish people is good. It's very friendly. It's hard to make the good friends. I'm very alone here. I feel that I'm missing my friend and my family also.
It's a welcoming country. It's a country that opens doors to everybody. You come to Ireland and then, oh, you're welcome.
Maudlin and over-emotional that song may be, but it sums up how a lot of Irish people see themselves. But what is the reality for immigrants? How easy is it to make friends when you come to live here? And are the Irish becoming less open as the country becomes more multicultural? Magdalena's subject is from Poland. Yomi Ogunyemi is Nigerian. Sophie Pilau is French. And Chu Yan Wu is Chinese. Michael Feeney Callan is from Ireland. I asked each of them if it's easy to make friends here.
In Ireland, you meet many friendly people and many acquaintances and colleagues, workmates and flatmates and so on and so forth. But not all of them will become your friends, like best friends and close friends with whom you can talk about all your problems. And I don't know, when you're in trouble, you can call them in the middle of the night and they will be there, you know, for you to help you. They'll lift you up.
Yomi, how hard is it?
Making friends in Ireland, for me, it's been pretty very hard. I mean, just like she said, it depends on what you define as friendship. My own definition of friendship is someone you can always call when you want to talk, someone you hang out with, someone you drink with, someone you watch football with, someone that visits you, you visit. I mean, you can even sleep over at your friend's place. That's what I call friendship. But have I been able to make friends with Irish people on that level? I'll say no.
And how long have you been here?
Well, I've been here for about 2 years now. Yeah. And as I speak with you now, I still don't have an Irish friend.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't know. Maybe there's something about me that drives people away. But I don't know why it's been so difficult. You know, my experiences have not been too good trying to make friends. I've been to 4 schools in Ireland already. 4 different schools. I've done 4 different courses in 4 different schools. And apart from the course I did in Ballymun, where people were really very friendly, in the other classes, it's not really been like that.
Sophie, how about you?
Well, it always takes a long time to become friends. And I think, like, after 2 years in Ireland, I mean, I've been spending the same time in Ireland, and I do begin to have friends you can go to the pub with and you can go for a game with, but, like, I wouldn't be able to sleep over at a friend's place here. I don't have any friends who would actually I could be speaking to if I was in any trouble, apart maybe from one French friend that I made here, but that's about it. But, I mean, I don't want to be too negative about it because I thought, I mean, it has been pretty easy to find people to go to pub with, and I've been welcomed very well when I arrived here. I mean, the girls from my husband's office actually invited me for lunches the first week I arrived here. So for me, it was just not to be lonely. And they were making that effort to welcome me. So, I would say that Irish people are very welcoming. But from my understanding is that they're really family people. So whenever they go on a weekend, they'll go with their family and relatives. I'm not sure they will go with their foreigner friends that they just made.
Chu-Yan, did you have the same experience?
I don't know. Maybe because I have been here long. Like I have been here for 4 years and 3 months. And the way I define friend, quite similar to the previous three speakers. And I feel happy to say, actually, I have quite a few friends in that way. Sure, I wouldn't stay over in friend's place. But when I feel I want to talk, when I feel I'm not very happy with something, I always have friends to talk. And they are my Irish friends here around school and neighborhood. I find it's quite okay.
Michael, as the Irish voice here, many people would tell you that, you know, Irish people are the friendliest people on this earth, and it's so nice to come to Ireland, particularly on holiday, but also when you arrive here. But is there maybe a problem about making deeper friendships?
I think to some extent we're quite like Americans, that when you were saying at the introduction about that song, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling, and it sums up a lot of the over-sentimentality and the over-emotional nature of the Irish. It also has, we have that in common with Americans. I think we're superficially very grand and open and welcoming. But I think we are quite a conservative and insular people, and tribally very insular. I mean, long, awkward history. And it has made us operate on a kind of a superficially very accommodating level. And then I think underneath it, we are quite defensive and insular. But I think there's other factors as well. I think that the world, in terms of, it's not just the new economy, it's a global a thing about global development and technology. The world has changed so much. It's become a very depersonalized and de-socialized world, and people hide behind iPods and answer machines and things. I remember reading something that the famous American philosopher Henry David Thoreau 150 years ago wrote, questioning the value of telegraphy, you know, telegraph messages, because he said, were we going to reach a point where we would actually find out things and we would get so much information from this technology, so to speak, that was really counterproductive to us as human beings interacting as friends and family and things like that, and performing the kind of the basic things that bond us together. And that was 150 years ago when it was telegraph messages were new. But today, I mean, just walk down the street and see people plugged into their iPods, and this addiction to mobile phones that no one can sit in an isolated situation for 2 minutes. I mean, I don't know whether it was you, Magdalena, or you, so, or someone in, as I came through into the reception area here in RTE today, instantly I was watching virtually everyone, when they were left in an isolated moment, went for their mobile phone. And it's very difficult then for me sitting as an Irishman, I think it was you, Sophie, and I was sitting and I was thinking, should I say hello to her? No, she's too busy with her mobile phone. That's what happens.
But I think that's exactly what you said about looking for contact, constantly looking for, you know, to be in touch with other people. And when you're using your mobile phone, it means that you just can't be alone with your own thoughts, and you find it awkward to be in this situation where you sit alone and just, I don't know, think or do nothing. So we are looking for, you know, contacts with people all the time. And at the same time, these contacts are obstructed all the time by the fact that we don't have much time to spend with you know, people around us, and just to chat in the street, at the bus stop, whatever. And I've noticed that for some people, it's just enough to exchange emails or just talk over the Skype connection. Personally, for me, it's not enough. I really value the, you know, eye-to-eye contact in person.
Where do you guys go to meet people? Is it the pub? Is it where? Yomi, where did you try and meet people? You said college earlier on.
Yeah, college, and then the church, and of course the pubs. You know, basically, those are the places where you can meet people and make friends.
Can I ask you about the churches first? Because I think within the African community, that seems to play a really big role. The church, and finding a church in Dublin that where there is a large African contingent.
Well, I don't attend a church where there's a large African contingent. It's a Baptist church, but fortunately for the church, we have people from different nationalities there. So there is also that element where it's not too personalized. But of course, the church is different. I've had the pastor come to visit me, but as a pastor, so I expect he will do that. You know, but again, talking about the church, the only one person in that church that has actually invited me for dinner is actually an American.
Okay. I have no idea of America, but I was invited to have a Christmas dinner after being here for 9 months by my Irish friend. And I had a lovely night with my friend at school and his wife and his children. And so I think it all depends. Like, friendship in a deep sense, not easy to develop. You need lots of communication, mutual understanding, trust. Then the closeness comes,
Meanwhile, yes, with the closeness, you respect the space also. So it's quite delicate in a way. It's difficult. I agree with Michael. Nowadays, with modern technology, communication in the deep sense is getting less and less frequent in a way. But sometimes it happens. Maybe some motivation, I don't know. Like this friend I'm talking about, we are colleagues in the same program, okay, in the school. And you see each other every day. Then you started talking. First, maybe for first few months, you say, how are you doing today? I felt quite difficult. Like when I first came here, my English was not very good. And I was, I always say, I'm fine, thank you. And they ask every day, and you keep getting the same answer. Yeah, but the understanding, you know, starting, you know someone, you know each other gradually, and you develop a trust. He looked like a decent man, and he's friendly, and she's honest, and she's serious with studying, maybe. So then you talk more and more, and you like each other. It's all gradually happening. And then you trust each other. So then you respect, you admire even some brilliant part. So I think friendship, it's difficult. It's never easy. Even back home, like it's not, you know, in China, maybe you think it's easy to have a friendship. Everyone has a address book like that, having all the contact numbers. They call that those friends. But it's quite an instrumental way, if not superficial. It's like good for business, good for social status, maybe, okay? But in the deep sense, like you trust, you admire, you understand, and you even care so much that if that someone is in trouble, you definitely try your best to help. In this sense, I'd say, you know, easy comes, easy go. So maybe we don't need that many.
I think one of the things about foreign people in any culture, whether it's in our culture, immigrant people coming in, or whether it's me being in a different culture or Irish people being abroad, I think the mode of communication in terms of actually the kind of commitment to trying to learn the language and learn the idiom is an extremely, but we can learn an awful lot from kids in this regard. I think children are tremendous role models in terms of how they develop relationships and friendships. They will find a method of communication extremely quickly, and they'll adjust from both. I think it's a two-way street is what I'm saying. It's if you're coming into a culture where it's a different language and it's a distinctly different culture, there's a learning application required from you, whoever that person is. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bridge to be built from the other side as well, I think. And I think that language is definitely a colossal inhibitor.
Sophie, when you came to Ireland, did you experience any difficulties with the language? How about some of the...
Oh, my gosh. yeah, and I don't know what it is. There is a lot of slang, and the slang is different than it is in the US. So I was used to the one in the US, and here it's like completely different expressions, and the accent is really strong. I mean, for me, I compare that to the accent you can have in the south of France, where I know that sometimes I go to the south of France and I don't understand a word of what they're talking about because of their accent. It's the same thing in Ireland. The accent is really strong and sometimes really hard to understand, even though you know the words.
Did you pick up some slang?
Yeah,
like
not that much, but yeah, I mean, you learn to say "aya" instead of "I" or "hello," and I mean, yeah, sometimes I mean, I remember one of my colleagues always saying "wagon." I was like, "What's that?" and I mean, you don't understand, but you kind of understand what she's talking about. And at the end of like 8 months spending with her, you're like, "Okay, she's a wagon."
Magdalena, you started off in Cork, which of course has a particular difficulty in terms of the accent there.
Yes, everybody, especially in Dublin, makes jokes about the Cork slang. But before I came to Ireland, I was exposed more to the British and American accent. I actually studied at the American Studies Center in the Warsaw University, so most of the teachers were American. And when I came here, it was very difficult to adjust your ear to the to the Irish accent. And in Cork, they have the specific type of accent, I would say, the kind of singing very melodious accent, but it's lovely.
I want to get back about where we're meeting people as immigrants. Yomi, you joined a gym. Did that help?
Did the gym help? No, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so, really, because what happened was in the gym, I would train all by myself. You know, I would train all by myself and everything. And even when I'm not training, I'm just trying to sit down, relax, and we've all finished and we're all trying to change, you find that, you know, there seems to be a grand conspiracy where you find the Irish, you know, they just stick to themselves. And then the only other friend I have in the gym is Polish, you know, and, you know, he just comes in and, you know, we chat and that's it, even though that friendship itself is superficial as well. But
did you try and talk to the Irish people? To get back to Michael's point, did you try?
Oh, yes. Like, unlike them, I didn't have a problem with language. I've been used to the Irish accent for almost as long as I can remember. Irish priests, Irish teachers in school and everything. So I've been speaking English for as long as I can remember. So I never had problems, you know, communicating when I got here. But the point is, you see, there still seem to be that they want to be friends with you. Only, hi, hello, hey. Yes, I mean, you meet someone in the gym in the morning and he sees you in the evening. Hi, how are you? Are you going to be at the gym tomorrow? And that's just it. That's how far he's willing to go.
But I would say that as an Irish person, I would say that that's pretty, you know, typical of Irish people anyway. I mean, as an Irish person making friends, I mean, I haven't done a gym for a while, but when I did do the gym, I found the exact same thing. I remember going through a period in my life where I was needing to get in shape and I was thinking, yeah, I'm concentrating so much on career. I'm traveling so much to do with my work and that I'm not doing anything socially. I'd given up the sport I used to play and I was kind of saying, I need to address fitness and social life. And I joined a gym and my experience was exactly the same as yours. You could have very superficial kind of friendships, but it's like pubs. I mean, pubs are the great kind of misrepresented thing about social life, because in fact, pubs are just places where people go to drink, in my experience of pubs. I mean, I've never in my years as an Irish person since I was a toddler in and out of pubs, I've never found a friendship in a pub. You find a friendship, you'd more likely find a friendship at a bus stop.
Those places are not good places to socialise, really, like gyms and pubs, because you're really isolated there. Especially nowadays in pubs, in Irish pubs, you have TV sets all the time. So there's not really much room for conversation as it used to be. And the best places to socialise, I must say, in Ireland, there are plenty of them. And for example, you have so many schools, universities and courses, even courses which are open to people for free, like evening courses. You have so many community groups that you can join. And I think the best way to meet people and to make friends is through doing something together, working in a team, having a common goal, something that you want to achieve together.
Do you guys think there's a difference between women and men here? That it's easier for women, for example, to make friends? Sophie?
It has been easy for me. I mean, I wouldn't say that I've got best friends here, but I mean, the best friends that you get are sometimes the one that you get when you're younger at college and maybe in high school. But yeah, I do have a lot of French and Irish friends, and I think it's easier at work. You get a colleague with whom you're going to get along very well, and you'll go to every lunch with her. And I remember, the last job that I was in, with the guys, it was okay. I mean, we had chats, but we never went out for drinks or just like from time to time. Whereas with one of these girls, it was just great. We had like so much fun together, and we were going out as much as we could together.
I see you nodding, Shuyan.
I just guess, would it be maybe more difficult for guys to build trust? No, I'm not. I try not to be judgmental. For example, I meet my friend at bus stop, and I saw this girl standing there alone, and I came and asked her, have you seen the bus 17 passed just now? She said, no, you're okay. I have been waiting for it, so we will be fine. And then we started talking, and it was a winter night, very late, dark. Imagine if I wore
a boy, a strong man, that conversation wouldn't have happened, maybe. By the way, that's how I made friend. This is my Hungarian friend. Yeah, this, her name is Leticia, and we are good friends now. And at that time, when we started this conversation, she arrived, 6 weeks before. So we meet each other at the bus stop, we started talking, and we are good friends now.
Yomi, you wanted to come in there?
Yes, I wanted to come in. You know, she said something about school being the best place to make friends. Yes, I agree with you. But my experience has not really been very good. Let me give you a typical example. I was in school with about 20 people. I was the only black person there. All the others were basically Irish. Now, when the course was winding down, there was going to be a sort of party get together, and they conveniently connived, but it sounded and it looked like that I wasn't invited for the party. Now, how did I know? I saw someone who was in my class who actually missed the party but had been invited, and she said, "Oh, how was the party?" And I said, "Which party?" I said, "Well, there was a party, you know, end of the course party." And I said, "Well, I wasn't invited." So I said, who organized it? He said, "Well, some people." I said, "Okay, fine, let me call." So I called. "What happened? I didn't get an invitation." He said, "Oh, we thought we emailed you. We thought we sent you a text." I said, "Well, I didn't get any." So they apologized. But for me, I think it was deliberate. I don't know, because I happened to be the only black person in the class, and I was the easiest person to remember because I was the only black person in class. So that I'll be the easiest person for you to remember that, yes, there's somebody called so-and-so in class. So I don't know. But my experience with a class where we had a lot of foreigners, non-Irish, it's been excellent. They'll call you, you'll send them emails and they will reply. You send them texts. I mean, just, "Hi, how you keeping?" They will send on a very regular basis, those that are non-Irish. But my experience with the Irish people has been, and it's not for want of trying. I've actually tried to make friends, you know, and there are times it looks like I'm getting too close. You know?
Sorry, Yomi, for interrupting you there. Let's listen to somebody who is also black and who has been here for 20 years. His name is Nicolas Cruz Hernandez.
When I arrived in 1988, during the first couple of days, I thought I was lost in the desert. I have nobody here and say, "What have I done? I'm here on my own, and then I know nobody here." Then off I went, found O'Connell Street, went to a bar there on O'Connell Street, and I was just having a short there and just trying to relax and think. All of a sudden, somebody comes beside me and asks me, "Where are you from?" And, "Well, I'm from Cuba." Still, I was a bit tense. And then, making the story short, it happened that your man, you know, I pay a couple of rounds, and then I as well pay a couple of rounds to leave it all even. And then your man wanted the phone number and where I was staying. I said to myself, people here are very friendly. Then as years went by, I noticed that all the foreigners, all the people, I must say, and I think that the Irish were a bit afraid of a lot of people coming here. But then things were getting very difficult. People were kind of closed. You were not welcome anymore in certain places. And I said, here. I have no problem with staying at home and avoiding going out. That's it. And I just go out only whenever I need to go do my shopping, get out and try to turn a deaf ear to things happening around there. You know, if it is just all this racial abuses, and, you know, if it was, I can live with that as long as it doesn't become physical. At this stage, I think, just looking back at the way it was back in 1988 and what it is now, and I will call that a transition period, but I think it may get worse if that problem is not targeted, because a lot of them foreigners are here to stay. So if they're here to stay, accepting them will be a great thing. But I think more opportunities in more places needs to be provided in order to the people to mix, because a lot of the foreigners are afraid to go out. I know children that they are afraid to join the local team because they think that they are not going to be treated the same as the other. It's difficult sometimes to mix, to show that I want to be a friend, and that's it. I don't think there's any human in the world like bad things to happen to them. We want good things to happen to us. And in order for that to go that way, we have to be friendly. I mean, I don't think it costs anything to be friendly. It's just to be given the opportunity.
Michael, has Ireland changed significantly?
Well, listening to that piece, I think you have to look at the grand scale of things here. I mean, there is, I love quoting some of these great philosophers, and my two favourite quotes about friendship, one is Marcus Aurelius, the great ancient writer, who said that the mind of the universe is social. And then Cicero in The Good Life, the great quote where he says that without friendship, a city or a house cannot stand. And I think it's impossible listening to the stories of, because you're talking about racism. What you're talking about is racist judgments that block friendship. And I think we've all experienced that. I remember the first job I got at the BBC in London, I went in the late 70s. And I was an Irish, you know, uneducated yokel arriving in London. And just as I took my job at the BBC, the same day, there was a bomb in the House of Parliament or whatever, and Éireann Eve was killed. And I remember the next day going to the Bush pub in Shepherd's Bush for lunch and sitting in a cubicle. And it had been relatively social the day before, but I ordered a sandwich and soup and it never arrived. And I went up to the bar and it was quite empty that day because everyone seemed to be on tenterhooks after that political incident, this bomb. And I went up and it was as obvious as anything that I had been tarred with the black brush. I was going to be the bad boy. And the adjustment in my own thinking was that it is all down to education, and it's a bridge to be built from two angles. I mean, when you go to the moon, you wear a spacesuit. So, you know, when you're in a different culture, you make an adjustment. And that adjustment has to be your willingness to understand that culture, the language, the dialect, the idiom. It's an actual energy I think you've got to put in yourself. You've made the commitment to come to this place. You've got to make the adjustment. But similarly, it's a two-way street. I think one of the things appalling in Irish culture is, and I speak because I've got kids, and they're educated in civil, social and political stuff. That's part of second level education. And yet if you talk to them about, I was talking to my kids and they were talking about the war in Iraq, which I think I never did support, is appalling. I don't support Bush in any way. But I saw them writing essays about Bush and about Iraq. And yet they had no knowledge of the history of how these things came about. So when you would talk about morality, or you would talk about, you know, Plato or Seneca or the Bhagavad Gita or the Talmud or whatever, they had no knowledge. And this is advanced second year students. So I think our opening properly the boundaries of friendship, which, you know, as Cicero says, we need. It's the only way this world can survive. To be fair and even about it, my feeling is the person coming into the culture has to make a self-education adjustment. But the culture itself needs to, in terms of we're institutionally shambolic when it comes to educating ourselves about Nigeria, about France, about China, about Poland or whatever. All we basically know are clichés. Like a Nigerian person is a certain kind of black cliché for us. A Polish person is a certain kind of, you know, cliché. Chinese person, they're clichés. And I think there's a problem at the root of the way we actually are educating ourselves.
But isn't it that individual person's responsibility to get people know herself rather than holding the cliche? Say, my friend, they know me as this person. I'm Shu Yuan Wu from China. Okay, I'm this person. And they accept me as this person, not as a Chinese in a general way. Okay, on the day-to-day basis, people don't know me. They see me and they, oh, she's Chinese. I mean, that's okay. I would say the day-to-day based superficial way friendly atmosphere, it's good enough. It's really good. I mean...
Well, my experience of Chinese people, we've had two work as childminders, housekeepers. Mm-hmm. So they've been part of our lives, two Chinese people. Mm-hmm. And it's very telling how two different Shanghai girls, one came and had very little English. This is quite recently. She was with us for a couple of months. And she had very little English, but had no desire or showed no desire to learn English. So, for example, when I would try to communicate with her, because I'm fascinated just because I write for a living, and part of the deal about being a writer is being an investigator. So you're trying, when you meet someone from a different culture, you feel a sense of privilege. It's an opportunity to actually get the story from the astronaut, you know, the real thing. So I remember trying to talk to that first Chinese girl, and it was clear that whatever her social or personal situation, she was not interested in making that jump. By contrast, we got on with her, and I forget the reason. It was a study thing that she went on or whatever. But anyway, we were friends in terms of being socially nice, but not friends in terms of saying, as Magdalena said, where you could say to someone, God, I had a bad night yesterday. This happened, or this, so-and-so is sick, or you couldn't do that. The second girl, by contrast, she had come with her little translator, you know, the little computery thing.
Yeah,
and she'd got her book and that. And she gave me a little history of no masks and all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't understand her. She couldn't understand me. But we would struggle over the kitchen sink to understand, you know. And I would come up with things like, can you tell me how to cook rice the right way? And she would not even know what I was talking about. But we'd get there. We'd work it. But the point I'm making is, I think it requires a mutual commitment. Now, we're not even talking about friendship here. We're just talking about understanding and getting on. Because I think talking about friendship is like talking about light. It's a hard thing to actually grasp. It's the gold standard of all human behavior, friendship. But in my opinion, in terms of the understanding of people coming into different cultures, I think there has to be effort.
Sophie, is it a question of immigrants just not doing enough?
Well, I do agree with Michael. I mean, we do have to make the effort to learn the language. We do have to make the effort to actually get into the culture. I mean, I was used to going to cinema and theatre rather than going to pubs. Well, I learned to go to pubs. And now I learned to drink my two Guinness per night at least. I mean, you have to make a step if you want to be people to make a step. I mean, if you don't try to actually talk to them, there's no reason for them to talk to you. They've got their friends already. They've got their family already. I mean, we are foreigners. We don't have any family here anymore. We don't have any friends here anymore when you arrive. So we do have to make the first steps, and we do have to listen to what they're telling us whenever they're talking to us. I mean, I remember Irish people telling me, oh, wow, this place over there in Galway, it's just so amazing. Well, you just go there. I mean, if you have the opportunity to go there, you just go there and you come back and you can have a conversation with the people, I mean, the person who told you about it. And that's the start of a relationship with that person, because you went to the place where she was born and you can talk about it.
Mm. Yomi, but you've tried, haven't you?
I have tried a great deal. The taxi driver that brought me, I chatted with him from beginning to the end, from told him about myself, he told me about himself. But you see, just like what we have with almost every Irish person you meet, it's always like, yes, they want to hear about you. Yeah, they're okay. They're okay talking to you. They don't have a problem talking to you. What we're talking about, building lasting relationships. That's what we're talking about. If it's about just, I mean, I've met you people now. What usually happens is, if I have an Irish person here and I have a French person here and we exchange addresses and I text the French person will respond. I text the Irish person twice, maybe three times. After the third time, he'll respond. Say, hi, okay, I'm fine. This is it. If I text the French person, can we meet for a drink? Say, okay, when are you free? You text the Irish person, I'm busy. You know, so it's not for want of trying. I have actually tried, you know. It just happens that, you know, every time, it's just something I've noticed, even in school, basically in school, I did a course, the two people that ended up being my friends that I would still get in touch with, those were the only two other people in the class apart from myself that were not Irish.
I want us to listen to somebody else, Simla, who is from Mauritius, and she came to Ireland with her husband, but her husband's away a lot.
It can't be lonely here. I'm very alone here. I feel that I'm missing my friend and my family also. But I can't do anything. When I feel I miss someone, but I just ring my family and I say, Mom, I miss you and I miss my friend. And my mom say, okay, I just give you a message for your friend and everything. But it's very nice, but sometimes it's very alone, you know. You miss someone, you miss. I listening my friend go to pub and invite me, but I never go to pub in my countries. And here, I want to try one day. I go to pub, but not yet because I'm study also and working. You know, is very heavy for me. I'm study DIT course computer, so I'm taking my diploma here. I think I will stay Ireland, but I don't know now.
I want to ask you a bit about cultural differences here, because even when it comes to friendships, I know where I come from in South Africa, if somebody moves into your street and they're new, in particular if they're foreign, you would run across the street. It'd be regarded as extremely rude if you haven't brought them scones within the first day and invite them over for dinner within the first week. It took months before somebody invited me to their house in Ireland. Now, is that just a cultural difference? No. Or do they have a problem with me?
Well, no, I think it is a cultural difference. I think if there's someone new in the street, being Irish, we assume it's an invader. So we don't go near them or we build forts against them. No, I think I think Irish culture has changed actually a lot in the last 10 years. And it's not about, in a congenial way, embracing immigration. It's about becoming a kind of an Americanized culture. And I think the most inhibiting factor for new people making new friendships, I think the Americanization of Irish culture has brought out the worst in Irish people. I think it has made us what we were saying earlier about technology and everything. Now, I think what you're talking about, Yumi, I think that's a different thing. I think that's a racist thing. I actually do believe there are huge racist elements in, well, there are in most cultures, and there are, I believe, in Irish culture. But I think this thing about desocialized behavior and the new economy has created this wealth and energy for acquisitions that has desensitized people about friendships. I personally find, like, when I'm listening to the four of you talking about the difficulty, or some of you talking about the difficulty with relations with Irish people, friendships, I connect with that because I find, I was saying to Nuala, the producer, that when I was doing a roll call of my own friends, I was realizing that more than 50% of them actually are not Irish people. And even though it's been hard to maintain relationships with some of them because they're in different countries, but those would be the ones, Magdalene, that I'd be ringing late at night to say I'm really having a problem. I wouldn't be ringing a lot of my Irish friends. But I think there is a factor in terms of the cultural difficulties. I think Ireland has become a far more superficial society and a far more deep personalised society. So for people like the panellists here coming into the country, I think they're getting it at the worst ebb.
Magdalena, how would it be in Poland? Would the same kind of distancing between foreigners apply?
Between foreigners?
And Polish people?
It's hard for me to say that because Poland is a very homogenous society. So we don't have that many foreigners. But I would say that people do socialize when, especially, you know, you have a lot of foreigners at universities. So it's natural that people just study together or go out together and everybody's invited. It's not, you know, there is no exclusion in that respect. I think that coming to a new country is always taking a risk, and the same refers to friendship. And there is a saying that be a change you want to see. I think we even if it's difficult, we need to keep trying, and we need to believe in that change, and we need to open ourselves and take this risk, even if we can be ridiculed or rejected. I think it's important that we try. When I came to Cork for the first time in Ireland, I was very lonely because obviously I didn't know anybody, I didn't have any friends there. But I didn't give up. I started to do something about it. I enrolled to the university on a journalism course, and I started to write for a local paper, telling people about Poland, about why we are here. People were overwhelmed by the fact that there are so many Polish people coming, and they didn't know why are they coming here, are they going to stay here, what are they going to do. And writing about it is a factor that helped me a lot to deal with that.
Sophie?
We're kind of saying that Irish people are really rough and it's hard to know them. But, I mean, I could say the same thing with French people. I wouldn't like being a foreigner in France at the moment. I mean, I'm not sure that French people would be welcoming people and would be interested in someone coming from Ireland or from Asia. And I'm pretty sure it's really rough. I mean, I haven't experienced it in France, but I'm pretty sure it is rough as well. So, I mean, the first step usually when you arrive in a new country, when you're a foreigner, I mean, you always kind of go to the foreigners because it's easier. You've got the same kind of background where you're on your own and kind of left alone. So, and then, I mean, just like you say, I mean, you try harder, a little bit harder, and you meet Irish people. But it's always hard. I mean, you don't know the culture. You don't know the politics. So you have to to learn all this, you have to read the newspaper to be able to have conversation about that in a pub or whatever. And it takes time.
That thing about not giving up, I think, Sophie, is important, because when I was telling you that story about 1979 or whatever it was in London, that's what happened to me. I mean, I was getting lots of rejections because it was not fashionable to be Irish in England. And I had a really hard time. And it was racism. There's no question about it. It was absolutely between the eyes racism. But it was really about not giving up. It was trying to find new things to do, new places to go, you know, joining in with people doing things and that. And eventually it really came good, because not only, if you look in the last 25, 30 years, not only has the political landscape changed completely between Ireland and England and what it is like to be Irish in England, but in terms of me personally speaking, I have really good English friendships.
Yeah, when I worked in an office in Cork, I had a phone call from one of my clients, Irish clients. He didn't know me because I was a new person there, and he said, put me through to somebody who speaks English.
Not nice.
I had that once as well.
And I was shocked. I was so upset about it because I tried to be so polite and answered the phone. I said, can I help you? And he said, put me through to somebody who speaks English. So I complained to my manager about it. And she said, oh, come on, I have two sisters in the United States. And they experience this kind of treatment all the time. They have to face it, but they just don't give up. So just go on with your life. Don't worry about it.
Michael, you have a piece of music that we're closing on.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is tongue-in-cheek now, but I'm saying that I think we as Irish people need to be a lot more accommodating. We need to learn, like as Sophie describes there, we need to learn what it's like, whether it's with France or Nigeria or Poland or China, to learn what their requirements are and their culture is. So the programme, I think, started with When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. So I think the appropriate tail-end music is If You're Irish, Come Into the Parlour. So that seems to be, we need to move from that position as Irish people.
And with that, we're closing. Yomi Ongun Yemi, thank you very much. Magdalena Subject, Sophie Pila, Michael Feeney-Callan and Shuyan Wu. Thank you all.
If you're Irish, come into the parlour.